Go with me, if you would, to 1 John, the 4th chapter. We're starting a new series today. I know maybe you thought we would teach on prayer until the millennium, but and Phyllis was telling me this morning I could have taken some more on prayer. Has the teaching on prayer these last few months impacted you, affected you? Are you praying more and better? That's a big, big deal. Well, don't let it slide. If anything, keep increasing. Keep growing. It's you cannot overstate the importance of it, the necessity of it. And if you have not been with us in past months, we've been teaching on prayer. We taught a series for a number of weeks called Teach Us to Pray. And then we talked about praying in the Spirit. And then we talked about different kinds of prayer. That was a short one, which is unusual for us. But anyway, all of those are available if you go to faithlife.org and go to the Word Supply. It's all there. You can watch it. No commitment required, no charge, any of that. And those of you that are with us, would you recommend that they go and spend the time and hear it and see it? And the Lord really has stirred us up about the importance of prayer, the need, the necessity of prayer, and how to pray the right way. But there are other things in the Bible. And so we're going to be moving on. And the Lord began ministering this to me a few weeks ago. And you're going to believe with me?
Yes,
like always? I've never taught this just like this. So please, believe with me. And our text is in 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. 1 John 4 and 1. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Keep reading for the next few verses here. He said, "Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Them what? Them who? Those other spirits that he was talking about. "Because greater is he," which is who? The Holy Spirit, "that is in you than he that is in the world." Somebody say, "Thank you, Lord."
Thank you, Lord.
So the title of our series is Try the Spirits. Try the Spirits. Isn't that what he said to do?
Yes.
Go back up to the first verse again. Let me read some of this to you from a different translation. The New Living Translation says it like this. New Living: "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Everybody that says, 'Thus saith the Lord,' is not 'Thus saith the Lord.'"
Hmm?
"Everyone who says they are a prophet or a prophetess are not necessarily a prophet or a prophetess." Hmm? "Everyone that says, 'You know, the Spirit moved on me, God showed me, God's speaking through me.'" He's saying here, test that to see what spirit really is that. They said it was the Spirit of God, but he's saying, don't just accept.
Right.
Test it.
Right.
Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. There's a few. Couple? Many. There are many. And now you got to understand, false prophets do not advertise that they are false. They present themselves as the genuine article. Huh? But there are many of them, he said, in the world. The International Standard Version, let me read this to you. The International Standard Version says, dear friends, stop believing every spirit. Now see, this says it a little bit differently. In other words, you've been just believing everything you hear. Stop doing that. This is something many believers need to make an adjustment in. And a change. As believers, especially folks in our camp, we're taught to walk by faith, not by sight. We are taught to trust without understanding. And to just trust immediately and completely without understanding. But that's what you do with God. God. Not everybody you meet. Everybody else? Huh? You test it. You check it. You examine it. It's like a sign I saw in an automobile shop one time. It said, in God we trust. All others pay cash. Huh? Well, in God we trust. Everybody else, we'll see. Right? We'll see. We need to know that you're human and that you could yield to a wrong spirit. Even a believer can yield to a wrong thing. Doesn't mean you're possessed. It just meant on that occasion with that, you yielded to a wrong influence. Now, that's what we're going to get into heavily before this is over, is the reality of the spirit realm. We live in a physical, material realm. But there's another realm. There's another dimension. Now, there are people who reject that idea and that thought. But you know, rejecting it doesn't make it disappear. Doesn't make it cease to exist. Reality is reality, whether you think so or not, whether you believe it or not. And if you believe the Bible, there is a realm of the unseen, a realm of spirits, and there are many of them. God is spirit. The Holy Spirit, obviously, spirit. Angels are spirits, and there are a lot of them, apparently. Apparently, there are myriad, millions, billions, I don't know how many. And there are different kinds. You know, sometimes people look up into the night sky and they think about space and they think, is there life out there? You better believe it. There is all kind of different beings that existed a long time before there was an earth, according to the scripture. They're not from earth. They're not of earth. They're not earthlings. They are spirits. And they are a different dimension. The Bible talks about the devil. He's a spirit. And demons. And anytime you talk among demons, the scripture talks about unclean spirits, lying spirits, deceiving spirits. I mean, the list goes on. Spirits of infirmity. The list goes on and on. And this is real. Yes. Now what you'll find out is that people tend to get in two ditches with these things. They either refuse to believe that other spirits even exist, and a lot of times they get afraid about it, or they get weird. They get scared, or they get weird. And I don't want you to get either one. Can we talk about this without you getting scared or weird? I'm counting on it now. Now, if I see you getting weird on me, I'm going to have to stop. And if I see you getting scared on me, I'm going to have to stop. That would mean either I'm not doing it right or you're not listening right. Either way, we're not getting the right outcome. But most of the world doesn't even believe that these things exist. Their thing is, if I can't see it, if I can't touch it, if I can't smell it, hear it, feel it, it doesn't exist. Well, then you don't believe thoughts exist.
Yeah.
Right? Or love, or anger, or joy. You can't see those things under the microscope. No. You know, you should definitely believe in spirits because you is one.
Yes.
you are one, right? You're sitting there right now looking at me through those two windows we call eyes. Your body is not just you. Your body is the house you live in. You can exist outside this house. And that's what happens when you die. You do not cease to exist. When a person dies, their spirit that looks a lot like their body is going to come out of the body just like you would take a hand out of a glove or a foot out of a boot. Your spirit will come out of your body and your body's dead. Because the flesh or body apart from the spirit, James says, is dead. The fact that you're breathing and looking at me means you're still here. You're still in the body. The body has no life in it apart from your spirit. And you'll find both the Hebrew word and the Greek word that's translated spirit is the same word for breath. And that shows you the connection between the spirit and the body. Take a breath. You couldn't do that if you were not a spirit. And because when your spirit leaves your body, what happens? The body stops breathing. Right? And that is evidence the spirit has left. And, you know, Jesus, when he hung on the cross, right as he was about to die, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed out. And that's what happened. Then his body slumped, you know, because his spirit left his body. Well, then what we have is spirits that you can't see that don't have a body. They don't have a flesh like us. And you don't need this to exist. If, you know, you leave your body before the trumpet sounds and all that, then you will exist, who knows, for some length of time apart from a body. But this body is valuable to the Lord. He bought and paid for it. And he has included it in his eternal plan of redemption. And even if this body decomposed in the ground for 500 years, when the trumpet sounds, the glory and power of God is going to change the corruptible to incorruptible, the mortal to immortal, and you're going to come back with him and pick up this body freshly glorified. And then you and I will have a body that can keep up with our spirit, that will never age, never deteriorate, never weaken, no more pain, no more limitations. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
But you're not just a body. You're a spirit living in a body. Now, these spirits that are in the realm that you can't see, if our eyes were open today, right here, right now, among the things you would see angels. They came here with you. They're assigned to you. They'd like to do more. I think quite a few of them are really bored. Huh? Because they're waiting. They are assigned to us. Actually, I guess from before birth. You know, Jesus talked about little ones, said their angel does always behold the face of my Father. And Brother Hagin said years ago, he said, the Lord told him, he said, why would you think you lost your angel just because you grew up? A lot of folks need their angel more after they grew up. These beings are real. And they're mighty in power, the scripture says. We'll be talking about some of these things we'll see. But if our eyes were opened, we would see that there's more beings here than us.
Hallelujah.
Hmm? And you don't want to try to see things. You don't want to try to feel things. That's how you can wind up weird. Hmm? Huh? Go back to our text. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, what did he say? Believe not every spirit, but see if you can feel them. Huh? No. Try. Now, the word try, I like what Brother... Mark Hankins said, anybody know Brother Mark? He's a funny guy. A minister, friend of ours. He said, now try the spirits doesn't mean like Baskin Robbins. 39 flavors, try all 39. He's not saying try them all. The word means test. It means test. It means prove. Examine, test it. Examine, prove, discern the spirits. And what are we testing to see? To see if they're of God or not. Right? Why? One of the most important things you and I could ever learn in this life is what to yield to and what to resist. Because what you have is all kind of people yielding to wrong things that they think's okay, and then you got people resisting the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And things that tradition told them was not right, but the Word of God says is. So I want us all to pray it right now. Everybody here, everybody in Sarasota, everybody watching us online, say it out loud. Father God,
I want to do
what you told us to do.
Teach us.
Grace us. Enable us. Enlighten us. Empower us to know how to test, examine the spirits, whether they are of God, and to see and know what is not of you, that we could resist it and give it no place in our life, and to see and know what is of you, that we might yield to you and give full place to every good thing that is of you. Enlighten our eyes. Give us discernment of heart to know the difference. And we purpose to walk in the light. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I have an excitement stirring in my spirit because anytime that I see some direction for us, I'm also thinking, just curious, why is the Lord leading us this way? How many would like to see more manifestations of the Holy Spirit? More moving of the Spirit. Well, certainly you should, but you also need to understand that any time there is, the enemy will try to trick you. He'll try to fake you some way and mislead you. And so every time the Lord gives us something like this, he's preparing us for the next thing. But we certainly don't want to go, oh yeah, great, good, let's get to it. Let's do this. Yeah. Right? Let's learn about testing and trying so that we are prepared. Because this doesn't just happen in a church service. This can happen with you by yourself in your bedroom. You have some kind of an experience or dream or something, and you think it's God. Well, is it? You thought you heard a voice. You thought you got a revelation. Whatever the case might be. Well, I know it was real. That does not make it God.
That's good, right?
Yeah, but it was spiritual. Doesn't make it God.
That's right.
Good. Does not make it God. So why would he tell us, test them, try them? Let's read it again. Beloved, believe not every spirit. You heard the phrase, don't believe everything you hear? Yeah, well, don't believe everything that's prophesied. Don't believe every revelation. Don't believe every dream or vision. Yeah, but so-and-so said they saw the Lord. That doesn't mean they did. They might have believed they did. The enemy's tricky.
Yes, he is.
He said, try the spirits. Test them. Examine them. Try them. Whether they are of God. Why? Why would he even need to say that? Because there's going to be a number of things, especially depending on how young you are spiritually, how immature you are, it's going to look like God. It's going to sound like God. Are y'all with me? But it's not God. Elsewise, you wouldn't need to do this. But you got to say, is it of God? Because many, many false prophets are going out into the world. Now keep reading. Next verse. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Now see, he didn't just say try it and test it. He's telling us how to do it now.
Yes.
Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, there is a general thing to understand that no wrong spirit is going to honor Jesus. Or be respectful of Jesus. Or talk about how Jesus is the Redeemer. He is the Savior of the world. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every evil and wrong spirit, they hate this. They despise it. And so they are not going to glorify Jesus. They will glorify flesh. And people speaking by a wrong spirit will talk about how great they are. But the right spirit, it glorifies Jesus, magnifies him, and not a phony way, a true way. Keep reading. He said, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, this gets back to some of the most basics of Christianity. Jesus, he was born. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. If you say, well, I'm not sure if that's true or not, you're influenced by a wrong spirit. If you say, well, I can't accept that. I didn't say you were possessed. I didn't say you were a devil. I said you're being influenced. You're yielding to a lie. Because he was. Jesus was and is. Huh? Conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. God became flesh. Hallelujah. Walked among us, ate, slept, you know, had to get up in the morning, get dressed just like us. He became a man. And he went to the cross and he did die. Huh? In the flesh. But he was raised from the dead. See, if he didn't really die, then was he really raised? And if he wasn't born of a virgin, then he's just a man like everybody else. How can he be qualified to be the sinless, spotless Redeemer? No, these are things that are our basics and our foundation. They are not open for discussion or debate. Are you with me? And anybody that wants to push the issue of, well, no, you got to be open, they are influenced by a wrong spirit. Because the Holy Spirit and every right human spirit, angel spirit, is going to glorify Jesus. Hallelujah. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a woman, walked among men, died on the cross, raised the third day. Period. Right? Anybody trying to push some other narrative? Wrong spirit. I said wrong spirit. You don't have to see anything or feel anything to know wrong spirit. That's a wrong spirit. They're trying to tell us Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. They're trying to tell us he didn't really die. That very next verse says that is the spirit of anti, which is against. The spirit against Christ. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And you will find that myriads of these wrong spirits influencing people is about, you know, denying. There is no God. There is no heaven. There is no hell. No, nobody raised from the dead. Well, if nobody raised from the dead, or nobody could possibly raise from the dead, then Jesus didn't raise from the dead. You see what they're saying? Deniers. And that is these spirits are against the Christ, which means they're against the truth. And said, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Are there spiritual influences that are real and they're powerful and they're not God? They're not God. This is that spirit of antichrist or against Christ, whereof you have heard it should come, and even now already it is in the world. It was working way back then, and it's just gotten stronger since then. This is whether it's pushing that there is should be no religion because there's no God, there's no life after death, or it's pushing a false religion that there is some other God. All of it is anti-Christ, against Christ, and it will refute and deny that Jesus is the one, the only Redeemer, Mediator, between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Huh? This is one of the biggest things that can help you and I to do this, to try the spirits, is what do you say about Jesus? And then listen and hear, is there genuine love for Jesus? Is there genuine respect and reverence for Jesus? If not, you're dealing with the wrong spirit.
Yeah, that's good.
Wrong influence. Because if you know Him truly, if you have truly been born again, you are not going to say one disrespectful word about Jesus. Huh? How many in here besides me? I mean, you'd rather die than to blaspheme Jesus. You'd rather die. You'd rather just leave and go to be with the Lord than to bring reproach and bring and deny the Lord. Say it out loud. I will never deny Him.
I will confess the Lord.
The Lord Jesus. Him. And Him only. He is my Lord. My Savior. My Redeemer forever. Glory to God. Now I know that sounds like some of the most basic thing you could talk about, but this is one of the first things He gives us that enables us to test the spirits. What do you say about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? What are you saying? So anybody that doesn't respect Him, doesn't reverence Him, doesn't love Him, that's an indication they don't know Him, and especially denying the things we talked about. Wrong spirit. But He goes on to say, keep reading to the next verse if you would, but you are of God. Huh? See, He said, try the spirits. Well, that includes you and me too. We're spirits. Right? That includes you and me. Try the spirits, whether they are of God. But the people that's reading this, He's telling them, you know, you're of God. I know you are. You're of God, little children. And you have overcome them, those anti-Jesus, anti-Christ, Bible deniers, heaven hell deniers and all that. You've overcome the spirits working through them. Why? Because the greatest spirit of all is living on the inside of you. Greater is He, the Holy Spirit, who's living in you than he and all that's with Him that's in the world. This is why you don't have to be weird and you don't have to be scared. Huh? You don't have to be scared because the biggest spirit of all lives in you. And the truth told, these other spirits, these wrong spirits, they are afraid of the spirit who is inside you. This is the spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Death itself and all the powers of evil could not hold Him. He has already whooped them and brought them to nothing. So there is no reason for you to ever be scared of any spirit. Because, come on, say it out loud. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. So I will not be afraid. I refuse to fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Thessalonians, if you would, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians 5. So what do you think about this new series so far? Think it's something we need and something we... Now, I'm asking you just what we prayed a few moments ago. Believe with me. I am believing for revelation. I am believing to discern and understand how to do what He's telling us to do. And I'm excited that you and I are going to grow in these things and not be ignorant of the enemy's devices. And he may fool a lot of people easily, but not Faith Life Church folks. Huh?
Thank you, Lord.
Because a lot of his work, they are subtle. He is slick. He is tricky. In fact, before you go to hold your place in 1 Thessalonians 5, let's talk about this slickness a little bit. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:3. He said, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Are there millions of people on this planet that don't know the gospel? And the gospel, they don't see how glorious the gospel is. It's hid to them. Why? It's not because all these people are dumb. A lot of these people are brilliant. Why don't they see it? Keep reading. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Is that talking about our Father God? Is he blinding people's minds so that they can't see the gospel? Does he want to hide the gospel or get the gospel out? He told us go into all the world, right? And proclaim the gospel. So who is this God of this world he's talking about? Who is this? This is the devil. Now see, this is what so many have gotten confused about. You'll hear people saying, God is in control, and they're adamant about it. And what they mean is God is controlling everything down here, whether you understand it or not. And I know a lot of it looks bad, but God really is controlling all of it. No, he is not. That is not what the scripture says. There is a God of this world, and it's not our Father. It's the enemy. It's the devil. And what's he doing? He is opposing God. He is trying to hide the gospel from everybody, which is why anytime you and I are able to publish and proclaim the good news and send it out to other people, it's a glorious thing. It's one of the biggest things we are put on the earth for. Hallelujah. Whether it's going and doing it or sending it or helping send it, any part of that is glorious. Because no matter how much darkness people have been held in or down under or for how long, no demon, no work of the enemy can stop the glorious light of the gospel when somebody is willing to see it. They can't stop it. It's too powerful, because greater is one in you. So he said, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. And so what we have is two kingdoms, two spiritual kingdoms. One is a kingdom of darkness, and the other is the kingdom of light, glorious light, the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of darkness or of evil. If you look in 1 John, we were just there, I probably should have had you hold your place, but they'll put it on the screen. 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19 says this. It says, we know that we are of God. Now see, this is just a few verses from where we were reading in chapter 4, where he said, you are of God. We know we are of God, and the whole world is lying in wickedness. And listen to the New King James, the Holman translation, several other ones say it like this. We know we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. If you're not born again and you're not walking in the light, then you are influenced and under the sway of evil spirits. Most people don't realize it. They wouldn't even believe it when you told them, but they are. Their thinking, the way they see things, the way they think, the way they talk, the way they live, is swayed by, influenced by evil spirits, influenced by darkness. They are in darkness. And what he just got through saying in that previous chapter in 2 Corinthians is that these that are not believing, the gospel is hid to them. Well, especially in our day, there's a lot of preaching going on. Right? I mean, there are whole networks that are 24/7 preaching the gospel, right? In our country, in Europe, South America, Africa. I mean, there's a lot of gospel going out. How is it that there are still millions who can't see it? Spirits. I said spirits. Influencing spirits. Spirits of darkness that are swaying and influencing people against the Christ, against the gospel. But now, go back to 2 Corinthians then, and the 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. He's talking about individuals that were false apostles. Now, our text said that there were many false prophets in the world. Here's false apostles. Many, such are false apostles, deceitful workers. In the book of Revelation, the Lord said to one church, he said, you tried those individuals who said that they were apostles and are not, and you have found them false. So they did exactly what our text said. These people came in to their camp and tried to pass themselves off as apostles of God, but these people were spiritual enough to look at it and go, no, you're not. That's a wrong spirit. They didn't accept them. They didn't give them place. They certainly didn't let them lead or do anything that they were trying to do. And not everyone who says they're of God are of God. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, isn't that what the Master said? Is from Him or doing His thing. And this is where we need to be enlightened. Truth told, a lot of Christians have been gullible. They've been gullible. Yeah. Anybody, you know, quote half a verse and say, the Lord told me, and they're like, yeah. And like a baby bird with their eyes closed and their mouth wide, oh, yeah. Not smart. You liable to swallow some stinky stuff. Some things are poison. Right? No, like I said, it doesn't matter if it's me or what preacher or who it is. We're all human. You know, it's possible that a man or woman could do a good job for years and then get off. I said, and then get off. Because they got to looking at a wrong thing or listening to a wrong thing and yielding to a wrong thing. And you need to know the Word of God well enough and the Spirit of God well enough that you don't just follow anybody and everything, even people that you think a lot of.
That's right. That's good.
You still need to be checking it out. I expect you, Faith Life Church, I expect you to check me out, right? Everything I preach to you, teach to you, you need to be checking it out. Is that what the Word said? Is it there? And you're checking the Holy Spirit inside you. Because if it is the Holy Spirit coming through me, that's the exact same Holy Spirit that's in you. And you will have a witness. But you need to be checking it all the time. And not just me, any man or woman, any preacher, teacher, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, anybody. You don't, every day's a new day. I mean, I could go nuts tomorrow. Didn't say I'm going to. I said it could. It's possible. You could go nutty. Somebody say, I choose not to. But you know what I'm saying? Anybody can go off the rails at any time. That doesn't mean God changed. They're human. They got a choice. They got a will. By the way, I'm not going to. By the grace of God, I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow. But 2 Corinthians 11, I'm just saying this is possible with any human being. For such men, he said, are false apostles, deceitful workers. And yet, what are they called? Apostles. And what are they doing? Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. The Lord didn't make them an apostle. He didn't call them to be an apostle. Their mama told them they were. Or their spouse. Or they just decided they would be. Huh? Or whatever. You know, like one individual said, some are sent and some just went. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Keep reading. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. This is the thing that so many have not understood. When they think devil, they think some goofy Hollywood horror show, movie. They think being with horns and a pitchfork and a red suit. Oh, no, no, no. He's much smarter than that. Huh? That's why it's possible that people could say, oh, man, I had a glorious experience. An angel visited me last night and told me this and this and this. Well, somebody said, well, it was a being in bright being, so it had to be an angel of God. No, it didn't. No, it didn't have to be an angel of God. Satan himself. He masquerades as an angel of light. That's another translation that said masquerades. He's not an angel of light, but he's one of the best actors there has ever been. Somebody said, man, I saw a light and I heard a voice. That doesn't make it God. And did you know the enemy can quote scriptures too? He quoted scripture to Jesus, right? Somebody says, well, how in the world am I going to know? Aren't you glad we're having this series? We've already gotten some really good ammunition, right? Number one, whatever message, experience supposedly you had, did it truly glorify Jesus, the head of the church? Did it truly glorify the gospel? And one of the things you got to watch out for, because the enemy knows, one of the most effective things that works on human beings is flattery. And he will try to get you thinking that you're something great, that you're something amazing. You know, I have had mothers come and tell me with their, 10-year-old son that they've gotten words from the Lord that this boy was going to do more than Paul and the apostles put together. No, he's not. No. Is that glorifying Jesus? And what you really feel sorry for is the kid. Because if he or she grows up believing this junk and tries to make that happen, they're certain to be destroyed. No. No. It ain't about you being famous. And never will be. This revelation, God showed me he's going to give me such power that I'm going to go and clean out the hospitals. No, you're not. No, you're not. That wasn't God. I said that wasn't God. Jesus didn't do it. There were times he walked into a place where sick people were everywhere, healed one person and left. Now there were times when a bunch of people came to him and every one of them was healed. And they left healed. But beware this stuff about you're going to get more revelation than everybody before you. No, you're not. No, you're not. See, that's not glorifying Jesus. That's glorifying you. And depending on how much pride is in you, you like to hear that. You know? Here's one of his big ones. They don't appreciate you. They're not giving place to your gift and your anointing. They're holding you back. They're holding you down. And they haven't paid you enough. Really, it'd be all right for you to take this because they owe you. See, we're already into lying and stealing. You see what we're talking about? Wrong spirits. Wrong and crafty. Crafty. Tricky. Tricky. No. It's not about you being somebody big. It's not about you being famous. It's not about you speaking to big crowds. Are y'all with me or not? Not you, not me. It's about glorifying your Lord. It's about doing what He told you to do. And if you do, He will do things. And things He did, He should get the glory for, not you. You're to be commended that you believed Him and obeyed Him, but you didn't do it. You didn't make it happen. So it'd be wrong for you to take the credit. This is how the devil works, though. He's always trying to whisper in your ear. They don't appreciate you. I mean, he'll tell you that about your spouse. About your co-workers. Huh? Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Keep reading. Then it's not surprising if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. These are wolves in sheep's clothing. An old man, they can be so subtle and so tricky, but you'll find out when something pushes them, their real nature comes out. Rage. And their pride. And the selfish ambition. And this kind of thing. A wrong spirit is influencing them. Now what happens is all of these wrong spirits, they try to make people, human beings, like themselves. An unclean spirit is going to result in what? A person being nasty. A lying spirit, what's going to be the result? A person that just lies and lies and lies. You see what I'm saying? What about the Holy Spirit? Can you see what I'm talking about? You yield to Him, you're going to take on more and more of His nature and His attributes and His characteristics, which is being like the Lord. And so, where are you holding a place? 1 Thessalonians, right? We'll go there now. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. The text said, the Lord said, don't believe every spirit. Over the years, the Lord's helped me. And everybody, you know, the Lord leads you this way. Anytime I'm hearing something for the first time, or more than that, especially, and I'm having to decide what's going on here, I don't just hear what people are saying. I'm checking here. Do you know what I mean by that? I'm checking my heart, because the truth is, none of us are perfect in doctrine, because we just don't know everything. We know in part. But even if a person is not correct in something they're assuming, are partially right, partially wrong in their head or understanding, that's not the big thing. What about their heart? Right? And what spirit or spirits are influencing them? Where are they coming from? And the Holy Spirit inside you will help you to discern and detect that and know that and recognize Him. You know, that's one good thing about spending time in the Word and spending time in prayer. In the Bible, every page from Genesis through the law, through the prophets, through everything, through the gospel accounts, through every word is the Holy Spirit speaking. And the more familiar you get with Him and His voice speaking, then you recognize when He's speaking through somebody else. Huh? Or when it's not Him. Doesn't agree with Him. The better you know His voice. You know, if you knew my voice well, and somebody called you on the phone and said, "Hey, I'm Keith Moore," and you thought, "Now hold on, I've heard him a bunch. You don't sound like him," right? And then they said some things that you knew I wouldn't say, right? Then you'd begin to conclude, that ain't Keith Moore. He said he's Keith Moore, but I don't think so. Well, that would only be if you had heard me quite a bit. If you had never heard me, you didn't know much about me, it would be easier for somebody to trick you. And that's the same thing with God. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, and I think I'm closing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, we're just introducing this today. He said, "Rejoice evermore." And we're going to, pray without ceasing. Do you still need to pray?
Yes.
Well, here's another reason to pray, right? Yes. So that you won't be fooled. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We saw this in the offering. Quench not the Spirit. Which Spirit? The Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Can you see all this goes together?
Yes, sir.
Don't quench the Holy Spirit, and don't despise prophesying. Now, what does that mean? Somebody prophesying is saying, "Thus saith the Lord." They're saying that what they're saying is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And why would you need to say, "Don't despise prophesying"? Because you've heard some that were off the wall. Right? And you got tired of it. And so the next time somebody said, "Thus saith the Lord," you thought, "Oh, not again." He said, "Don't do that." Why? Because this time it could be God. And now you're being disrespectful to the Holy Spirit. Somebody told me years ago, Brother Hagin was talking about a prayer meeting that some people, they didn't pray, they just prophesied to each other for the whole time. And one of them was asking him, "Do you think it was right or not?" He said, "Well, what would the prophecy say?" He said, "Well, they said, 'My little children, if you are my little children, don't be afeared if you are. But if you are, that's okay. Sometimes I get afeared myself.'" I don't think so. And they said, "That is as thus saith the Lord." And, there are prophesyings. And don't misunderstand me now. Sometimes people just make a mistake. And you just need to learn. But if you do make a mistake, you need to be quick to admit, "I missed it." Don't double down that it was God. Not that many days ago, I felt like the Lord put something that I thought was significant on my heart for somebody. And I called them, and I was talking to them, and I was trying to minister it to them. And in the middle, they said, "No, God said this." I said, "Well, I hear from God too." "No, God said this." That was it. Shut me down. Shut me off. Stopped. What they didn't know what the Lord had dealt with me to do. Still don't. I guess maybe they won't. I thought it was significant. But, see, they're saying, "God said." Well, did He? See, I knew when they said it, it wasn't God. But from my standpoint, am I going to argue with God? See, that's how they put it. Do I listen to God or do I listen to you? Are these things important?
Yes.
Do they matter?
Yes.
Oh boy, do they. Do they? So he's saying, don't quench the spirit and don't despise prophesying, but what do you do instead? That word prove is the same word, test. Test all things and accept it all? No, just hold on to the good stuff. What about the bad? Brother Hagin used to say this all the time. He said, have as much sense as an old cow. Eat the hay, leave the sticks. Have you ever seen cows or horses? You know that you take them a big bale of hay and you come back later, the hay's gone, but the sticks are there.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what's he saying? People are human beings. They can make mistakes. Even with the prophecy, the first part of it could be, thus saith the Lord. And the last half of it was, thus saith them. Huh? So you had some hay and you had some sticks. And Brother Hagin said, have as much sense as an old cow.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? Don't despise. When somebody says, thus saith the Lord, I'm a prophet, I'm a prophetess, I'm an apostle, what have you. And you'll find that people who really are don't go around, demanding that you accept that they are. That's not how they operate. But moving right along. Don't despise the prophecy, but what are you going to do? I'm going to test it. I'm going to check. I'm not just going to say, yeah, you're a prophet. No, I'm going to check it. I'm listening. And when I'm listening with my ear, I'm listening with my heart. Is that right? And the Holy Spirit's bringing scriptures to my remembrance. And if I pray every day and commune with Him, I'm His sheep. I know His voice. Is that right? And if you got the same spirit speaking through you who's in me, that's not a strange spirit. I know that spirit. I know that voice. It's going to be familiar. Even if it's new revelation to my head, it's going to be very, very familiar to my heart. Same spirit. That's why if you notice in 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the manifestations and gifts of the Spirit, it kept saying they're different ministries, different manifestations, but the same Spirit. By the Spirit this, the same Spirit this, the same Spirit this. Somebody say the same Spirit. Let me read these other translations. He says, don't, TNIV is what it is. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what's good and reject whatever is harmful. The New Living Translation, verse 16, New Living says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Now this is what we're talking about. If it's the enemy, you need to stifle it. Right? If it's a wrong spirit, you want to bind it, quench it, shut it down. Give it no place. If it's the Holy Spirit, throw both doors open wide. Is that right? And then say, yes, please, come on in, more please. So do you need to know which spirits you're dealing with? Oh, yeah, this is one of the biggest things we could ever learn. So don't stifle the Spirit. Don't scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Say it out loud, test everything. Then he said, hold on to what is good and stay away from every kind of evil. The NAS says, examine everything carefully. The Message Bible, put up verse 19 on the Message. The Message, verse 19 says, don't suppress the Spirit and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. On the other hand, don't be gullible. Right? Check out everything. Check it out and keep only what's good and throw out anything tainted with evil. Stand on your feet, everybody.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.